The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Hey, Mr. G, are you there?
I am.
Where do I do stories from my life? There's a couple of locations I tell stories about.
The post office and 7-Eleven.
Post office and 7-Eleven, those are where I meet Americans. Today, don't tell Katie, because I'm still on the diet. I stopped at the new French patisserie that's just down the road from us. And I was getting a very nice coffee, and no croissants were involved in this exchange with the French bakery. And a little old lady walked in, and she looked at me and she said, "Sebastian?" And I said, "Yes." And I, "Oh no, I've been rumbled. Is this a liberal?" And she said, "I love you. I saw you. You were there at Mar-a-Lago." "Yes, I was." And then she said, "The GOP are useless," in front of everybody in the shop, and said, "We need you and the likes of you back in the White House." And she said, "I used to work there. I was so impressed. What a lovely lady. You know who you are. I'm not going to use your name in front of 3 million listeners, but God bless you. We need more like her." Let's talk to somebody who had high hopes of the election. We're going to do an autopsy with him live now. We will vivisect American politics. He is one of your favorites, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Sebastian. Glad to be with you.
So people are still passing the midterm elections in very different ways on the conservative side. I listened to an interview with Molly Hemingway yesterday with my colleague Charlie Kirk, who said, Well, actually, you know, it's not as bad as it looks. We fired Nancy Pelosi. If it weren't for, you know, certain things happening in terms of mailed out ballots, it would have been quite different. So from your perch as an avid historian of American politics, what is the correct balance sheet for the midterm elections?
Well, from my own perspective, I'm afraid it is quite negative. I'll tell you why. Like yourself, I've been steadily and without wavering a Trump supporter. I mean, not uncritically. There's some things he says and does that I wish he hadn't done. But you know, that's neither here nor there. I think he was a very good president. He's a friend of mine and has been for many years. But that apart, he was a very effective president. And the takeaway to me, the chief takeaway, is that while I have serious doubts, grave doubts, about the authenticity of the last election result, the last presidential election result, and these results are, as Molly Hemingway said, somewhat ambiguous, that had, you know, there were some good points in it. The fact is, the American voter allowed itself to be distracted by this nonsense that democracy was at issue because of the supposedly violent and unconstitutional tendencies of Donald Trump. And what really horribly disappointed me was that even though three-quarters of the people say the country's headed in the wrong direction, a very substantial majority don't approve of the job Biden's doing. And therefore, I thought, like as you mentioned, I thought this would manifest itself in a bit of a substantial red wave. It was counteracted by this absolute fraud that we don't seem to be able to get off from around our necks like an albatross, that Trump is a menace to the Constitution and is a force for chaos and violence. And that, in my opinion, counteracted the dissatisfaction with the regime. So we got a very ambiguous result. And in sum, despite my reservations, to say the least, about the 2020 election, two times in a row, the country has narrowly chosen Biden, who is a nonentity and an incompetent, over Trump, who is, I think, one of the 10 best presidents in the country's history. And I find it very depressing. And I don't think there's any easy palliation of it like Molly made. I mean, I just think the result. And effectively, I think, although he redeemed his position to a very significant degree by the, I think, the best speech I've ever heard him give at Mar-a-Lago last Tuesday, you were there, where he focused on the future and put himself at the head of a lot of a good reform program that he outlined about reforming election counting and election, just the procedures of election to prevent all the nonsense that's gone on. And, term limits for the Congress and a number of other things. He may have put himself back in contention, but as of the election night, I thought his time was passing. He was still an influence in the party, certainly, but effectively, the country had said, we don't trust this guy enough to favor him even over Biden for all his weaknesses. And the Republicans were effectively saying, we owe Donald Trump a great deal, but it's time for a change, and DeSantis is the man. Now, I can live with DeSantis. I think he's a good governor. But I'm basically a Trump supporter still. So my attitude is it was a bad night, but not irretrievably bad.
If you'll permit me, let me provide another possible narrative, and I'll do it with some empirical evidence. So here we have the person, the Secretary of State, who allegedly is going to become the governor of Arizona. This is Katie Hobbs, giving an interview. Not a, just listen to the quality or the lack of quality.
She's a horrifying woman.
So this is Katie Hobbs on a friendly channel, CNN, and it's a brief cut, but I'll use this to bolster my argument. This is cut 9, play cut.
Look, I'm not focused on what my former opponent is doing. I'm focused on all the things we need to do to get ready to lead on day one of my administration. But this kind of political rhetoric, these false accusations, they need to stop, because many people across the state of Arizona and across the country are being misled by these so-called political leaders, and their rhetoric is dangerous, and it's leading to threats and violence, and it needs to stop.
So hardly on the levels of Cicero or Maggie Thatcher. So here's my narrative for what happened 2 weeks ago, Lord Black. In a system where we don't have election day, it's not was the issue, because in Pennsylvania, 50 days of voting was the norm. That's a month and a half. And more than half of those who voted before there was even a debate between Fetterman and Oz. So my argument is that there is a ground game afoot that has nothing to do with candidates or connections to former presidents or current incumbents. It is the mechanics of the enterprise. The GOP has not responded, but the Democrats have a capacity to ballot harvest where it is legal. And they've built a system where they'll go to the old people's homes, they'll go to the colleges. In Arizona, at the University of Arizona, 96% of the students voted for that woman, for Hobbs, and 3.5% voted for Carrie Lake, who's one of the most charismatic, impressive candidates in American politics of at least the last decade. So my argument is it has less to do with individual characters and even policy platforms than it has to do with the harvesting, not of votes, Lord Black, but of ballots. Your response?
There is undoubtedly merit in what you say. What is impossible, certainly for me to do, is judge the proportionate contribution of the different elements to the result. In my opinion, to some extent, we have to give the Democrats tactical credit for going after the youth vote hammer and tongs. I think abortion helped them with the young people, young women especially. I think the attempt to forgive the student loans helped them. I think the reduction of the marijuana penalties, all of that helped them. And it was a targeted program to round up that section of the electorate, and I think it was pretty successful. And undoubtedly, there is this new game of the the protracted election period and these vote harvesting techniques. And I'm not claiming that anything was illegal. Maybe there were some things like that, but nothing like as serious as 2 years ago. And you're quite right. The Democrats clearly got well ahead of us, and it was compounded by Senator McConnell withholding money
yes.
until half the people had voted in some states. But there was also in there, I think, unfortunately, an element of the country saying, we just can't take Trump again. We don't like Biden, but Trump isn't the answer. And I think to some extent they were sending that message to the Republican Party.
We're talking to Lord Conrad Black, co-host along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett of the podcast Scholars and Sense. You can follow him at Conrad M. Black on Twitter and his website, conradmblack.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Follow us, please, on Spotify. Never miss our one-on-one podcasts. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, on Spotify. We'll be back with Lord Black in a moment.
Listening to Dr. Sebastian Gorka, a man who's taken down Eastern European governments with just the sound of his voice.
Thank you kindly. Yes, we are back. Thanksgiving will be on us before we can blink. And then, of course, Yuletide and Christmas. Can you imagine what Christmas is like without your parents? And not for a good reason, because they're working or they're traveling, but because they're incarcerated. Last year, our dear listeners, helped to get Christmas gifts from incarcerated mothers and fathers to more than 236,000 children across this nation. More than 1.5 million boys and girls have a mother or father behind bars. It's one of the most beautiful campaigns of the Prison Fellowship. We call it the Angel Tree Campaign. $25 gets them a Christmas gift, a message of love that they are not forgotten from their mother or father behind bars, and a children's Bible. Will you make a donation this year? If you can afford $125, that's 5 children who will feel just a little bit more loved this Christmas. It's a beautiful thing to do. Let's hit 300,000 children this year. Will you help us? Please go today to sebgorka.com and click on the Angel Tree banner at the very top of my webpage. Make a donation in whatever amount you can afford, because you will be saving and changing lives. More than 70% of these children can end up behind bars themselves. Let's break that cycle. The number, if you want to call in your donation, is 888-206-2794, or just go to sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. And click on the Angel Tree banner at the top. That number again, 888-206-2794. We are back with Lord Conrad Black, the author of too many books to mention. Anyone with his name on the spine is worth your time. Lord Black, I played you a cut from the current White House press secretary. She was very, very angry today as Fauci gave his last speech from the podium before he retires. Who do you prefer more, Jen Psaki or the current incumbent?
Well, Jen Psaki was more competent. I mean, this was competent, frankly, but I find her rather an amiable personality, where I found Jen Psaki really rather obnoxious.
Well, let's talk about
Jen. Mind you, Kayleigh McEnany was the champion. I thought she was great.
Let's talk about the predecessor. Let's talk about Jen Psaki, because she's in the news. This is from FoxNews.com. Former White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said Monday that there wasn't a lot Democrats could have done to change the inflation reality. A federal judge ruled Monday that the former White House press secretary must comply with a subpoena and offer a deposition in a lawsuit that claims the Biden administration colluded with big tech to censor speech. Now, her response, and I must read it to you. This is directly from Jen Psaki to the judge, Lord Black. Sitting for a deposition would be extremely burdensome for me. I understand that I would need to devote several days to preparing for the deposition, as well as attending the deposition itself, and that would be highly disruptive to both my work and my family. My response on social media, Lord Black, is, well, that's a great excuse that President Trump can use now that there's a special counsel coming after him. Your response?
Well, that's just nonsense. I mean, of all the self-indulgent, self-serving, pompous statements. I mean, you know, she knew when she was, took that job on that there was going to be a good deal of controversy, and because her party is so addicted to stirring up spurious litigation against its opponents, she might reasonably assume that some of it would come back at them, and as press secretary, she might have to testify and give evidence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the president, the current president, did her the honor of conferring that important position on her, and she had to know that something like that went with the territory. So what is she talking about? I mean, this is just the hypocrisy of these people that, you know, we can drag perfectly innocent Republicans through the courts and smear them and tar them and feather them in our you know, parrot media that is just a mudslinging operation of a rabidly partisan nature in most of the networks and most of the print media and national political media. We can do that, but they can't even call for evidence from us. Well, you know, get lost. That's not how it works.
And the fact that this Department of Justice, Biden's Department of Justice, less than 72 hours after the announcement from Mar-a-Lago that he's running, have deployed, impaneled a new special counsel to quote-unquote oversee the findings from the Mar-a-Lago raid and the January 6 investigation. Could it be any more transparent what they're really doing, Lord Black?
Of course not. And it is indeed the most unspontaneous act in presidential politics since the Democratic Party in 1940 nominated Franklin D. Roosevelt for a third term after he said that you should feel free to vote for anyone you want. It was all rigged that they would all vote for him, of course. But I mean, I think that may be an abstruse reference, but he pretended he was accepting a draft, but the whole thing was organized. And here, I mean, they obviously had it all ready to go. And they came out of the gate like a greyhound as soon as Trump made his announcement. I mean, I wrote in the first newspaper that I was a large shareholder, a little daily newspaper about 60 miles east of Montreal, but right on the Vermont border in Canada, but on the Vermont border, we had a lot of American readers. And I wrote 50 years ago that if this whole Watergate business was proceeded with the way it was looking, then eventually we would have the criminal justice system a kind of mound that both parties would constantly storm to take it over and use it against the other, and American politics would be reduced to criminal investigations and prosecutions instead of a civilized electoral process. And that now, you know, we have quite rightly the Republican, imminently to be Republican-controlled House of Representatives announcing it's finally looking into the Biden family's financial dealings after this man in Delaware has been twiddling his thumbs for the last time. I mean, he wins the John Durham Prize for wasting everyone's time. And the next day, I think it was, that the most contemptible Attorney General of the United States in my lifetime, because it was rank partisanship and inarticulation, produces this spurious claim that they're lumping together January 6, where the director of the FBI said a week after the event it had nothing to do with Trump, and the you know, the wrongdoers were not connected to him, and they link that with this Keystone cops raided Mar-a-Lago trying to patch together the notion that the former president violated the Espionage Act. I mean, that has got to be the most fatuous argument I've ever heard directed against any American president.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking to Lord Conrad Black. The latest book, the most relevant, is Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other. Also co-host of the podcast, along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett, Scholars and Sense. Follow him at Conrad M. Black on Twitter and ConradMBlack.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous swamp that is Washington, D.C. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
Sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I may just have to give up posting substantive stuff or think stuff I think is serious. I posted a photograph of me with my Mustang. I got her back from the shop on Saturday because I had disc brakes fitted and a covert Bluetooth stereo. Don't worry, you can't see anything. It's all hidden. And the photograph and the comment that, hey, she's back, got something like 3,000 likes in 24 hours. And I know I've got a million plus followers on Twitter, but my average post when it's political and I think it's really important is like 300 likes. I think I'm just going to post my dogs, my breakfast, and my Mustang from now on. Do we have that photograph? Can we get it up there? It's a PhD weight loss one, right? You just got to find it. Let's talk to the woman who made that amazing updating of my vehicle possible. She has something that is called the Car Coach Reports. She sends me stuff with regularity. She is the Car Coach, Lauren Fix. Welcome back to America First.
Well, thanks for having me. Lots going on, and I'm really, really excited I was able to get you some safe brakes put on your vehicle.
Because those drum brakes, yeah, a little bit spongy. And when it's raining, not so exciting. So I've got disc brakes all around. There is my baby. There is my 66 Mustang. I've got the 2020 as well for the everyday stuff. And the new steering wheel. Thank you for the recommendations and your contact. Last thing, and I'm not going to touch it, some period correct rims. And then maybe some AC. I might put some AC in because it gets a little hot and sticky here in the swamp. All right, enough about me and my pony, although I do need people to go to my website and tell me a name. I need a name, and not Sally, okay? I'm not doing the stupid Mustang. Sally, I need a female name. Go to sebgorka.com and send me a little message at sebgorka.com. All right, you've been sending me some fascinating stuff. First things first, it's not cars. Right now, he's allegedly negotiating, but what is the impact going to be if we have a rail strike, Lauren, in America?
Oh, it's going to be huge. Now, I know everyone's talking about, but you're literally looking at billions of dollars of losses because everything goes coast. Cars get transported from the manufacturing plant to the sub area where it then goes to your dealer. So that means good luck getting cars. We can't get them now. That means all the components, tires, metal, just think of everything that you need gets from point A to point B, from the West Coast to the East Coast, usually by rail. Then it's transported to a diesel-powered rig, and then from there to the final destination, the last mile to your store or to wherever you're getting it. And that includes, like, Amazon packages, yep. U.S. Postal Service, FedEx, planes, but they also use rail. And without rail, we're in a lot of trouble. And we've been using it for years, plus passengers, Amtrak, which is owned by the government as well. They can't seem to organize the Postal Service or Amtrak. But the fact is, without diesel, and there's a shortage of diesel, and without the railroad system, we have a supply chain nightmare. This is where Buttigieg jumps up and goes, oh, yeah, this is going to be a problem. Really?
My worry is, yeah, trains are super important, but if we have a diesel shortage, trucks are the lifeblood of America. Isn't that even more worrisome, Lauren?
I believe they're both worrisome, but the diesel is massive. How does gasoline get from the refinery to your gas station? How does everything get transported, whether it be food, clothing, literally every item that you use, even boxes of diapers and cases of pencils and school supplies is all diesel powered. Now, yes, there are some electric vehicles to do light stuff going from short run distances. But if you want something hauled across country and it's made here in the U.S. or overseas, it's going to be diesel. And that includes the boats and the airplanes.
Yeah. Last question. We've only got a minute left. You got to follow her, carcoachreports.com, Lauren Fix on Twitter. You sent me a story. I haven't even had a look at it. What is the disaster of the Audi diesel truck trial? Just give us a little tease so everybody can go and read your report.
Okay, it's on a website on YouTube called VinWiki, V-I-N-W-I-K-I, and I've submitted 7 stories to him. I went down to his place in Atlanta, and we tell car stories, and one of those was a very interesting accident I had in the desert. We talk about how it was Oprah's automotive expert, whether you like her or not. It was really good for promoting my brand, and, of course, some racing while pregnant. So if you go to VinWiki and you put my name in there, Lauren Fix, you'll find him a little bit different.
All right, that's a really good name. I don't know who came up with that. VinWiki, V-I-N, like vehicle identification number of VinWiki.
Right.
All right, we have to get you back for a longer chat. In the meantime, follow her at carcoachreports.com and at Lauren Fix. Next up, General Don Baldock. What really happened in New Hampshire in the midterms? I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. Half a million Americans right now, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. This is Leah's story. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That should be you. That could be you. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Lauren, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. You know it makes sense. What have you got to lose? Well, except for the pain, call today. 800-500-8384 or just go to ReliefFactor.com. You deserve to be the next success story. That number, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Some voice in talk radio. No, not me, Dr. G.
So this from the Daily Wire. Nicolas Guterres, who was released from custody, the 22-year-old who plowed into 75 recruits from the STARS, the Sheriff's Explorer Training Academy in South Whittier, California. Not only has he been released from custody, he's come up with the excuse for how he... It's horrific. 25 recruits went to hospital, multiple recruits in the ICU, and some of them have lost their limbs. That's the speed at which he plowed into the recruits who are out for their morning run. He has stated, "I wish it had never happened. I feel bad." He says he fell asleep and woke up to the sound of recruits banging on his windows. You can't kill 20, you can't plow into 75 people and hit 25 of them unless you accelerated. It's not possible. How does he accelerate in his sleep? Something utterly stinks. We'll keep you up to date as soon as we hear some more. And keep those 25 recruits, especially those still in the ICU, in your prayers. Please pray for them tonight. I pray for them every morning, every evening. You should as well. If you enjoy the show, please support those who make it possible. Great Americans like Mike Lindell. He's on your side. You heard the story of the intimidation. 3 unmarked FBI cars rolled up at a Hardee's to take his phone from him. Why? Because he's a conservative. They want to cancel him. The big box stores have banned his goods. The latest is Walmart. Let's support this friend of the president who is a warrior. Go to MyPillow.com. He's got some amazing Thanksgiving offers, some BOGO offers, and if you use my name, you'll get up to 66% off his line of more than 150 items. Let's have this man's back and get a good night's sleep as well. You can call them on 800-829-8468 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka for those massive, massive deductions, for those discounts. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. All right, what happened 2 weeks ago? Let's talk to a man who served this country with honor in the uniform of the U.S. Army Special Operations Brigadier General from the Granite State, General Don Baldock. Welcome back to America First.
Well, hello, sir. How are you? And I hope your listeners are well.
Yeah, we're preparing for Thanksgiving. We're having debates as to which is the best pie. I can't decide between apple pie and pecan pie, but we've got bigger issues to discuss today. So I love the Granite State. I spend every summer there and often my winters as well. I'm so sad the old man of the mountain fell off the mountain above Franconia more than a decade ago. But will you help us understand, because we still can't work out the Fetterman success in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvanians, what have you done? Can you tell us what happened to you and what the people of New Hampshire did?
Well, I think basically what happened was, you know, $56 million spent by Senator Hassan on lies. And, you know, the lies were targeted based off of abortion, Social Security, and Medicare. I saw them doing that across the nation. Mail-ins, you know, 8x10. People getting them every day. You know, she did for every one of my commercials, you know, she did five. And, you know, the money playing out the lies, I think, had a lot to do with it. It you know, it's fear, it's uncertainty. It created that in the younger generation, created that amongst women and the elderly. And then the fact that the Democrats do very well here in New Hampshire by taking advantage of same-day voter registration and mail-in balloting. And quite frankly, the Republican Party does not. And there was significant amount of people doing same-day voter registration across the state. And I'm not saying that there was anything illegal. It's just a lot of people showed up and cast their vote for the Democrats, which is something that you can't poll, right? If you looked at the polls, you would see that, you know, it was either going to be, you know, a 1-point victory by her or a 1-point victory by me, but not 9 points. And certainly Caroline Leavitt's race and, you know, against Pappas played out the same way. So it just doesn't make any sense polling wise. It doesn't make any sense based on the fact that Maggie Hassan was so unpopular here. She didn't campaign. I out campaigned her by a mile and a half with 85 town halls, 2 years of campaigning. You know, constantly out there making myself available to everybody, and she just did nothing. And
General,
she wins, and what do we hear? Nothing, right?
General, $56 million you say that she spent, Maggie Hassan. How much did you spend on your campaign?
So I had $2 million in the general election. I had some outside help for advertising, but it was, you know, it wasn't anywhere near what she should have done. Mitch McConnell.
And this is my question. What support did you get from Mitch McConnell?
None. Zero.
Was there any communications? Did they say why they don't want to support you or why they're spending money on their buddies in Alaska like Lisa Murkowski?
Well, I think I was viewed as him, you know, by him as, you know, America First, MAGA candidate, you know, someone who wants to put the country first. Imagine that. You know, when did that become an evil thing? You know, he knew that, you know, I wasn't supportive of him, you know, being the leader. And he's not popular here in New Hampshire either. So it is, you know, a combination of those things. You know, he didn't support me. And, you know, Caroline Leavitt didn't get any support either. In her race, and neither did Bob Burns in the second CD. and it all played out, right? You know, they get 100% backing by their party, and they all come together, and they all get out there. Republicans, we eat our own. We don't know how to win, even with good candidates. We don't know how to win. This should have been a win for Caroline Leavitt, myself.
And then they want to blame my former boss, President Trump, when instead the person who did nothing for candidates like you actually is the person that bears the responsibility. 56 million to 2 million. All right. Well, I don't think we've seen the last of you. Follow this man at Jen Don Baldock on Twitter. That's Jen for General Don and then Baldock, Boldduc. Thank you, General. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the relieffactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating 500,000 Americans right now. People like me. Yes, I had a low back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 3.5 years later. But it's not just me. It's people like Reggie from Florida. This is Reggie's story. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Powerful words. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and 500,000 of your fellow Americans. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com.
Impeachment and conviction of fake news. America First.
We mentioned that Karine Jean-Pierre got a little bit angry with a journalist asking a question from Fauci, his last speech at the podium before he retires. Goodbye, don't let the door hit you on your backside. Cut 12, play cut.
It is not your turn. You can't read a press briefing. You need to call from people like President Rooms. She has a valid question. She's asked about the origin of COVID. I hear your question, but we're not doing this the way you want it.
This is a disrespectful. It is. I'm done. Simon, I'm done. I'm done with you right now. Go ahead. You're taking time away from your colleagues.
We are not doing it the way you want to do it. You will shut up. Oh, my gosh. Getting spicy there. That's professionals, and that's a smooth press conference. Nicely done there, Jean-Pierre. All right. There's something we have to add to that discussion. Hey, first, Jeff, what do you think of my idea? I like having people on who have lost their races to tell us what really happened. Is that a bad idea? How is that for radio?
I think that's really good because you really kind of get what's going on there and how people like Mitch aren't helping us at all.
All right, so that shocking figure that Maggie Hassan raises or gets the Democrats to raise $56 million for her, and Baldock, General Baldock, raises $2 million by himself. In the break, you said something that's a little bit even more important than that. What is it?
In fact, New Hampshire's primary is really late. It was in middle of September, right, which everyone else is in the general election. And this super PAC that came up, they realized afterwards it was funded by the Senate PAC leadership, which was McConnell, and they spent $4.6 million trashing him in the primary.
So you're trashing the guy who wins the primary, which means what about McConnell, Jeff? It means he'd prefer to have a Democrat win the seat than to have any Republican.
Exactly, and that's less than 2 months from the election. That's when everybody else is in the general election, basically. He was destroyed by the time that the election really started.
Hang, Jeff. It's Trump's fault, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's the Trump factor.
Yeah, it's the Trump factor. God, Mitch McConnell is such a scumbag. You're actually spending millions of dollars to defeat a fellow Republican. I'd like to know when the Democrats have ever done. When have the Democrats spent millions to defeat somebody on their side? I don't think we'll ever find that because they don't have things like rhinos. They don't have dinos, Democrats in name only. Did I just invent something? I think I just invented something on live radio. Dinos! There are no things. They're extinct. They don't exist because Democrats, they stick together. All right, FTX. Billions, billions lost by this complete con artist, the second biggest donor to the Democrats. What's the truth and what does it mean for you? You don't want to miss a millisecond. That's next here on America First. Don't forget in the break to check out the amazing gear at SebGorkaStore.com. We'll be back in a moment.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.